40 days. 40 days have passed since the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, since the birth of the Son of God to an impoverished father and an unwed mother in a little town in the middle of nowhere. How still we see thee lie. 40 days have passed, and as was the custom of God's chosen people, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph have made a long and tiring two-day journey. They've walked about 12 kilometers in total along the long and winding and often dangerous Bedouin path that leads from that little town of Bethlehem to the great city gates of Jerusalem. They've walked from the city of David to the city of Solomon, the city that houses the temple, that marvelous second temple rebuilt by King Herod, the temple of Yahweh, the temple of the Lord their God, the very heartbeat of ancient Judaism. And by now, some of you may well be asking, 40 days, scratching our heads. But what about that sojourn in Egypt? What about that evil King Herod and his order to kill all the children of Bethlehem, all those children who were 2 years old or younger? What about the warning that was given to Joseph by an angel in a dream, a warning that said to him, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, so that the words of the prophet might be fulfilled, out of Egypt I have called my son. But today, of course, is not that story. Today's, of course, is not the story of St. Matthew, a story in which Jesus' childhood is marred by violence and brokenness and fear, the fear that is inseparable from life as a refugee, whether then or now. Today we hear the voice of a different storyteller, though, a different master weaver of words and images, the weaver of poetry that we call St. Luke. And on his loom of prose and song, he weaves for us a portrait of Jesus' childhood that is far different than the one that is gifted to us by St. Matthew. St. Luke, ever the physician, ever the healer of our world's wounds, weaves for us a sacred tapestry in which the threads of violence and oppression that marred Jesus' childhood in Matthew's telling of the tale, those threads are gently and lovingly pulled away. Those hardened parts of Christ's story are gently omitted by Luke, as if Luke might be saying to the church, no child should ever have to experience that. No child should ever have to experience fleeing for their life and living on the run and existing from one meal to the next as a refugee. And so Luke reworks those hardened knots in his story, those hardened knots on his loom. He reworks those bits of the tapestry of Jesus' life with new knots and new threads. Threads in the story of the Son of God that are filled with light and with love and with the mystery of God's Holy Spirit. That is the story we have today. Threads that are dyed through and through with awe and with hope and with wonder. Mary and Joseph arrive at the temple in Jerusalem this day. They arrive at the temple, carrying Jesus in their arms, now only 6 weeks old. And they arrive there in order to fulfill the obligations under the code of Deuteronomy, the obligation that a woman must be prayed over and purified 40 days after the birth of a son. And what's more, they have also come because Jesus is their firstborn son. And as it is written in the book of Exodus, the son which first opens the womb belongs to the Lord, and is to be presented to the Lord to be redeemed. But this child is so different. This child is not in need of redemption. This child is redemption. This child embodies redemption, incarnates redemption for God's people, Israel, and for God's world. This child is so different. And the people who are worshiping in the temple at Jerusalem this day, they know it. They know it from the top of their heads, the tips of their toes. This boy is different. Simeon, a man of many years, a man with the wisdom of two or three lifetimes, all wrapped up into one, you might say. Simeon is guided to the temple on this day. He is guided to the temple by the Holy Spirit that rests on him, that same sacred spirit that guided the wise men, the spirit that placed a new star in the sky and said to those three kings, follow it with all your hearts. Simeon, who knows by some gift of God, some miracle of God, that he will not see his own death. He will not meet his end before he has seen the Lord's Messiah. Simeon, who the Holy Spirit rested upon, is guided to the temple of Yahweh this day. And when the old man sees the boy Jesus, when he sees that six-week-old infant, that vulnerable baby wrapped up in his mother's arms, who is also the King of Kings, Simeon himself takes him up in his own arms and praises the Lord his God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in your peace, according to your word. And he continues in prayer and praise with words that we of the church have sung at evening prayer for centuries and centuries now. The Nunc Dimittis, our choir knows it well. For my eyes have seen your salvation, Simeon cries, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. A light for this world which we celebrate on this Candlemas. Simeon picks up the baby. He picks up the baby Jesus on this day, and he lifts him up towards his face. And as he lifts him up to behold that unspeakable wonder, he sees what we all see when we behold a newborn child. He sees the light of God. He sees the love of God. He sees the face of his Creator, the face of his redemption. Now in the temple this day, there is now also another person, a prophet. And Luke is very clear in his weaving of this masterful story. This person was not just anyone. This person was a prophet. A prophet in the line of Ruth and Judith and Esther. A prophet by the name of Anna. And Anna, like Simeon, is great in her years. She lived with her husband for 7 years and then as a widow to the age of 84. And for all those years of her widowhood, Anna has never left the temple. She's never left the temple precincts. She's never left the house of God, but she has worshipped there. She has worshipped Yahweh there with fasting and prayer night and day. And over those many years, Anna has seen thousands of children, literally thousands of children, being brought to the temple to be dedicated, being brought to the temple in the arms of their parents. And yet the moment she sees this child, the moment she sees Jesus, she too begins to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, to anyone who would listen to the sound of her voice. Anna testifies to the presence of the light. And having been blessed by Simeon and Anna, having been blessed by these two saints, Mary and Joseph return to Galilee, to their hometown of Nazareth. And there the child, Jesus, grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. What are we to make of these beautiful knots and threads? What are we to make of this new or perhaps reworked tapestry of Jesus' childhood that Luke has woven for us on his loom this day? To offer one or two definitive statements about what this story is about or what this story means seems to miss the point entirely, I think. Because Luke is not inviting us with this masterful piece of artistry to know something absolutely certain. Luke did not create this story, did not tell this story to invite our brains to say 1 + 1 = 2. No, Luke today, the master weaver today, is making an appeal to our hearts, to your heart and to mine. Luke, the master storyteller, is inviting us to live into a story. Today, in this reworked story about Jesus' childhood, Luke beckons us to wonder and marvel at what can be possible when each of us, as children of the light, children of God, see through the gift of our faith, the light of God shining through us in this world, and when we testify to its saving power. Today, Luke summons us as children and adults alike to look once more to our candles, to look once more to those sacred little baptismal candles which we bless this day, and to see in their eternal flames the face of our redemption, to see in the tiny and fragile flickering of their wicks God's promise to cause new light to shine in our hearts, to give knowledge of our salvation in the face of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today we are issued an invitation. We are invited by Luke, the great story weaver and healer, to shine God's light on our tapestry, to allow that same light to be our guide in our working and in our weaving and in our living. Today we are invited to allow the light of Christ to illumine the hardened knots that are part of your story and my story, and to join with God in helping us to weave new knots, to weave a new creation, a new story bound together by threads of awe and hope and wonder and grace, a new tapestry that is dyed through and through with light and peace and the liberation of our God. Today we are invited to author a new childhood, you might say, for our own lives and for God's world. Amen.